1500 till south of runway 27. Cessna final, you're doing a great job. Put her down, paint that runway 18 right, clear left.
Welcome into today's audiocast from on location at EAA Air Venture 2007 for this Thursday, July 26th from AvWeb. Brought to you by Oregon Aero and the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Although it's been all but forgotten, the Yonkers UMO engine was one of the most successful power plants of World War II. But did you know it was a two-cycle diesel? A UK company called Power Plant Developments is seeking to develop a new LSA engine based on the same operating principles used in the UMO. At EAA AirVenture, AvWeb editorial director Paul Bertarelli sat down with the company's chairman, Derek Graham, to find out how the engine works.
And we're speaking today with Derek Graham, who's chairman of Power Plant Developments, about a new innovative diesel engine. It's a three-cylinder, two-cycle engine called the Gemini 100. Derek, we're very impressed with and intrigued by this presentation this morning. Could you give us a basic summary of this engine, a bit about how it was developed, how it works, and what the market outlook looks like?
The basic engine design dates from a very long time ago, and it's the JUMO engine of the 1930s. And the principle on which it works is of two half-length crankshafts, which has a piston on it, operating in the same cylinder, the cylinder lying between the two crankshafts, and the combustion taking place between the two pistons as they reach the top of the stroke. And the induction and exhaust of the engine being operated in the standard two-stroke fashion, because this is a two-stroke engine, as the cylinders pass the ports, the ports open, and because the engine has forced induction from a supercharger, the new mixture is forced in and the old mixture is forced out through the exhaust. And it's that simple principle of opposed pistons, with combustion taking place between them, driving two crankshafts which are geared together to a central propeller, which allows us to dispense with a large amount of weight and a large number of components.
Now the weight on this, according to the spec sheet, is about 75 kilos for 100 horsepower installed?
For a 100 horsepower engine, the dry weight is 70.5 kilos. And with the addition of the heat exchanger and the associated piping, it goes up to 77 kilos.
Which is about 155 pounds?
About 155 pounds.
Now, it is water-cooled, but it's water-cooled in a very limited way, if I understood your presentation correctly.
It's water-cooled in a limited way, in the sense that because all of the combustion takes place in the center of the cylinders, and we only cool the center section of the cylinders, there's really quite a narrow waterway, finned waterway, inside the engine. And the result of that is that we can reduce the amount of coolant, which has the effect of reducing the amount of power required to drive the pumps and reducing the weight of the water required and the size of the heat exchanger.
Right back with more of Paul Bertarelli's conversation with Power Plant Development's Derek Graham. Today's coverage from Oshkosh is presented by the Bose Aviation Headset 10, voted number one for the sixth consecutive year in Professional Pilots 2006 Headset Preference Survey. Enjoy full spectrum noise reduction, clearer audio, and comfortable around-the-ear fit. Learn more at bose.com/headset. Oregon Aero now offers the complete solution to painful, noisy aviation headsets with new headset upgrade kits. Oregon Aero headset upgrade kits eliminate pain and pressure, improve intelligibility, and keep the head and ears cool and dry. Visit OregonAero.com to select a headset upgrade kit today.
According to spec sheet, the fuel-specific, brake-specific consumption is 0.40, and you mentioned in the presentation that may be on the conservative side. Is it possible that it could run in the mid-threes?
For this particular engine, our original calculation was it would be 0.4, we have not yet done a sufficiently long series of measurements to be able to define exactly what the SFC is. But our recently refined calculations, indicate this engine was going to come out at about 0.39. And the second stage is to turbocharge the engine to to produce 125 horsepower, and that will bring us down into the mid 3.6, 3.65 area, which is getting into the same range as a conventional four-stroke diesel.
And this this engine, as currently construed, has a mechanical supercharger, correct?
That's correct.
And why it has to have forced induction in order to operate?
It has to have forced induction.
Why did it begin life with mechanical supercharging rather than turbocharging?
Because it has to have a mechanical mechanical supercharger, because without forced induction, it won't start.
Why not go directly to a turbocharger?
Because the turbocharger isn't running at cranking speed. Therefore, there's no induction pressure.
So if it has a turbocharger, which would be more efficient in terms of power generation, is that correct? Or
if a turbocharger is more efficient in terms of it takes less power to drive it, yes, it's more efficient than a supercharger.
You'd need the supercharger still to start it?
But you'd still need the supercharger to start it.
I see.
So what happens with the turbocharged engine is that it has both a supercharger and a turbocharger. The supercharger, this is not pilot selected, this is automatic. At cranking speed, the supercharger turns. Because we use a positive displacement supercharger, then it immediately applies pressure to the induction system, so the engine starts. And then as the power increases, the turbocharger will start to spin. And as the turbocharger comes in, the wastegate on the supercharger will open until eventually, when you get to full power, the supercharger is totally offloaded and the turbocharger is doing all the work.
I see.
Now, that gives you a power benefit because the supercharger takes quite a lot of horsepower to drive it. In this installation, something like 30 horsepower to drive the supercharger at full speed, with the wastegate closed, and the turbocharger takes about 5 horsepower. So in the condition where you are at full power, running on the turbo with the supercharger offloaded, you've saved 30 horsepower for the cost of 5 horsepower, you have a 125 horsepower engine.
So,
now, if I may just add that for your engineers who may be listening to this, that is, of course, a gross simplification, but it's an explanation of the principle.
Power Plant Development's Derek Graham. Hey, if you're attending Air Adventure this week in Oshkosh, be sure and stop by the AvWeb booth and say hello. We'll be signing up folks at booths 105 through 108 in the vendor hangars throughout the show, and we'd love to meet some of our readers. We'll be producing news reports live from the booth, and some of our most frequent contributors have agreed to do special one-hour stints in the booth, so if you'd like to put some faces with the names, be sure and stop by and talk to us. Today's coverage from On Location at Oshkosh, Wisconsin, was brought to you by Oregon Aero and the Bose Aviation Headset 10. For AvWeb Audio, I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.